The term genome was coined almost 30 years ago. Back in the late 1980s, human genetic research was embryonic. Today, the field is flourishing internationally. Recently, we sat down with a man who heads the National Human Genome Research Institute in this country, Dr. Eric Green. We caught up on the progress of genomic research, much of it in cancer.
I think a great example of that, which I think is a nice prototype, is the Angelina Jolie story. There is a gene that we know that when mutated gives a greater predisposition for breast and ovarian cancer. And as her very public story revealed, that by getting advanced information about her own genome, it gave clues about a more aggressive prevention strategy that she chose to pursue.
Which was, in her case, a double mastectomy, because she knew that she had the gene that might cause breast cancer ultimately, even though at this point there was no sign of breast cancer.
Correct. So there's an example where genomic information about a patient leads to preventative options that probably would not be pursued if she didn't know that she uniquely had genomic differences that make her more prone for breast and ovarian cancer.
I think that a lot of people have whiplash because there's so much new information coming out right now, you included. What's some of the newest?
Well, I think one of the newest things that I think a lot of people don't realize is happening is that we are quickly changing the way we do prenatal genetic testing. We have very new, incredibly sensitive methods that allow you to detect fetal DNA in very low quantities that float around in maternal blood.
And so what does it tell you when it tells you what's happening around the fetal tissue?
It is basically telling you whether there's any abnormal chromosome numbers or any other gross anomalies, as we call them, for chromosomes. For example, Down syndrome, three copies of one of the chromosomes, chromosome 21. I can speak for my immediate family. My wife and I chose for both of our children, who are now teenagers, but we chose to get prenatal genetic testing done. She underwent two procedures, amniocentesis. Today, it would be a simple blood draw rather than an invasive procedure.
And what more information would you get than you did when your children are young?
It would fundamentally be the same information, just without a medical procedure that risks the viability of the pregnancy.
Have you had your genome sequenced?
So I have not yet had my genome sequenced. Yet, I would in an instant if it was going to change anything I was going to do medically for myself.
Well, how do you know it won't?
Well, the reason why is because at the moment, I'm totally healthy. I don't take any medications. I know enough about my own family history to know what I'm at risk for. In my case, I'm at risk for melanoma. And even if I sequenced my genome and it told me that, I would do the same thing, which is to visit a dermatologist once a year. That said, I could believe in the next few years that balance may tip and we may start to learn enough additional information about certain disorders or certain genomic differences that might make it worthwhile for me to get my genome sequence.
Given the amount that we know now and just the surge of research and research dollars and information that has come out in the past two decades, why are there still not cures for diseases like Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or diabetes?
They're really complicated diseases. I mean, the examples you gave are diseases that are basically labels for what are likely many sub-diseases under them. And each of those sub-diseases represent a different combination of genomic differences and genomic mutations and variants, and then environmental contributions as well. What has happened in genomics is we are making progress and sort of building the layers that are going to be needed for doing the kinds of large-scale studies to tease out these multifactorial diseases. And we are making progress, but it's not going to happen overnight. Where we have made much greater progress are rare diseases that are caused by single spelling differences that give great risk for getting the particular disease. And in those cases, there have been dramatic advances in our understanding of the diseases, in some cases coming up with treatments.
President Obama has been a great supporter of genome research. Have you been paying attention to what the presidential candidates now who want to replace him have been saying about this? Because this is your future and the future certainly of the project.
I've been paying close attention to what the candidates are and are not saying about biomedical research. And to be honest with you, I have not heard much discussion at all yet about biomedical research from any of them. Not to say they haven't said anything. I've missed it. I am hoping that when we get past the conventions and we get into the last phase of the election, that there'll be some good questions asked of these candidates about biomedical research.
So what are your questions?
I think what I would love to know is their thinking about the role that biomedical research plays in the United States, not only societally, but also in terms of advancing healthcare, in terms of stimulating the economy, our place on the world stage in terms of traditionally being leaders in biomedical research, and would like to hear their commitment that we should stay at the forefront of expertise. And in genomics is a great example where we really have created some of the key elements of the playbook in the last quarter century of the field.
But other countries are using the playbook.
And we are seeing increasingly other countries simply putting more resources in and using that playbook, and I don't want to see us fall behind. And so I think it's...
Which countries?
Well, I think there's been a number of countries that are investing in genomics, countries like China and Korea and others that see this as a high priority.
How do the gains that, say, the UK or China make put the U.S. at a disadvantage?
Well, in some cases, you know, we're all involved in consortium science that is we're all benefiting when they make investments. On the other hand, I don't think we can stand back and watch other countries figure out the best way to apply genomics to medical care. And plus, we are really good at this. We know how to advance medical knowledge better than any other country, in my opinion. And we shouldn't see the lead in this at this particular moment in history.
And is that what we're doing, ceding the lead?
I'm concerned that there is inadequate investment. And as a result, I certainly talk to young trainees all the time who are worried about their future in research.
What are you seeing?
What I'm seeing are people questioning whether this is a viable career when they see that that the relative funding for biomedical research in the U.S. either being flat or even in decline over the last 10 years, at a time when the opportunities are spectacular.
Thank you, Dr. Green.
Sure.